Great stuff. So what an interesting topic. Don't let God speak to us. We see this quote actually happening in the Old Testament. Now, you would know Israel was on this journey from Egypt to the Promised Land. And it's the only people that made a three-day journey into 40 years. So your decisions has impact, but that's a different sermon altogether. But this quote happened on the way there, where they came to this place where God wants to speak to them. Because God said to Moses, gather the people, I want to speak to them. And they were gathered, and then they come to the mountain, and the mountain is like this. I mean, there's thunder, there's lightning, and it's absolutely a scary moment, and they respond in this way. Now, in Exodus 20, verse 18 to 19, it says that the people were afraid and trembled, and they stood far off and said to Moses, you speak to us, and we will listen. But do not let God speak to us. Interesting. Because in the day and age that we find ourselves in and walking as Christians before God, I think when I looked at this, it's almost like a foreign concept to think that, you know, don't let God speak to us. Because I think for all of us, and we are on this journey to continuously really want to hear God. I mean, or is that just me? All right, so there's a select few that are passionately seeking God, that He will speak to us. And here we find the Israelites going, no, not God. We don't want Him to speak to us. And as I sat thinking about this, probably, you know, if the mountain was on fire and there's smoke and there's lightning and it's this intimidating scene, I probably wouldn't have let God speak to me either. Because if you go read the Old Testament, so many times, you know, when someone messes up, I mean, simple stuff happens. You like the earth opens up and boom, gone, chapter closed. Now, if that was me, sorry, I would have really liked, you know, then the scripture says they stood far off. Now, I just wonder why. Because they were probably thinking, there's too much space here, you know, stuff can open, people can disappear, God is here, we ain't doing this. And they had this relationship with God that even in that, they looked at this and go, no. But there was a man in the midst of them that were walking into this thunder and lightning and the craziness to speak to God. Something that I think we should pursue. That we would be the men and women, and this is not my sermon, I'm just thinking of this while I'm speaking, is that there was, in the midst of this couple of million Israelites, there was one man that were willing to go up the mountain in the midst of thunder and lightning and all the rest of it and go speak to God. But why were they so terrified of this God actually speaking to us? And I want to relate it maybe a bit back to us, because you see, when God speaks to us, we have one of two responses. Either we obey, they will go, yes, God, you have spoken, I will obey. Or you have to tell God that, no, I won't. That's basically the two responses that we can give Him. You know, and I think sometimes when God speaks to us, we do an optional, you know, I'll get back to you, ASAP thing. But there's really just one of two responses that we can have before God. Now, sometimes, and I think in their case, it is easier when a man speaks to us, because when a man speaks to us, we feel that obedience is optional extra. It is not imperative. You see, because when I tell you something, you go, I'll think about it. But when you've heard God speak to you, then obedience is really the only response that you can have. And I've had moments in my life where I mean, on our journey, even in the last couple of years, where we really heard God speak to us. And when we really heard everybody around us go, no, that doesn't sound like a good idea. Maybe you should leave that. But on the other hand, I've heard God speak to me. So what's my only response? It's obedience. Right? But when a man speaks to you, it's maybe like, maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't. But we should be careful not to consistently humiliate God by ignoring him. You see, because I've also learned that sometimes the Holy Spirit will speak to you and then just keep quiet. And I heard a preacher once said, you know, when God speaks to you and he then goes quiet, and you're on this journey and suddenly find yourself in a place where you're like, God, but what are you saying? What's happening? What needs to happen? Then maybe just go back to the last thing that he told you. Because he hasn't changed his mind. His instruction is still true. But we shouldn't have this relationship with him that we actually humiliate him and make him look bad, because we are actually walking in our own disobedience. Now this morning, this message of mine is not necessarily a nice one, but I trust that it will stir in your heart something to obey and listen again. Because the question that I want to ask you this morning is, in the light of that, are you listening to God? Are you listening to what he's saying to you? Are your ears open? Because he still speaks. It's not that he stopped speaking. He still speaks. It's not that we usually, consistently disobey him. Is that sometimes we're actually just not listening. And we must listen. Yes, and it's quiet in here now. Drop a pin quickly. You see, he's given us his commandments, right? If you read the Bible, he has given us his commandments. He said so many things in Scripture that we should do. Not is that not right? So many things that instructs us in the way that we should walk, in the way that we should go, and there's a lot. I mean, if you want to know how to live this life, then read the Bible. Because there's so many instructions and commandments that he has given us. The thing is, we pay little or no attention to them sometimes. We choose to ignore the commandments that he's given us. Like love your neighbor. We can go on that topic and have a sermon now, but we're not going to do that. Or forgive, as your Father in heaven has forgiven you. And so I can go on, and we're going to start quoting scripture, because many of you know these scriptures of commands that he has given us. You see, it's not that we want to disobey, but that we don't love and respect him. Because in John 14 verse 15 he says this, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So in other words, if I love God, what's my response? To keep his commandments. To do what he says. To obey him. Because I love him. Not because it's a, you know, master-servant type situation, master-slave whipping me into things, but because I love him, I will obey him. I will listen to him. Thing is, when we realize this, we will be filled with shame and humiliation, and we will actually be in a place where God forgive me, because I've actually been ignoring you. You're speaking to me, commanding me, showing me the way that I actually should walk, but I've not been listening to you. Is that not then a reflection of our love towards him? It's a tough question. You see, your obedience to something that God will say to you will show your love to Him, if I read that scripture right. Because if I love Him, I will obey His commandments. I will want to hear His voice and I want to do that. And then on the other hand, you know, because I sometimes hear God or heard God once speak to me and I actually did it, it doesn't mean that I'm actually going to do it again. One-time obedience is not obedience. If I love Him, I will continuously obey His commandments. I will continuously listen to His voice and do what He says. Because sometimes when we've listened to God, and you know, when God sometimes speaks, it doesn't make sense in the natural, but when you obey and things start happening, we start rejoicing, you know, because, wow, look how awesome this is. God has spoken to me, and this is the testimony, and this is what God's done and everything. And then what do? We fall into our usual pattern of doing life our way and doing what we want. You see, my lack of love for Him is shown by my insensitivity, by the insensitivity of my heart and mind towards Him. Tough statement. My lack of love for Him is shown by my insensitivity, by the insensitivity of my heart and my mind towards Him. So where's my heart? Where's my mind? You see, when I walk with my wife, my heart is for her. I love her. I mean, sometimes, you know, she doesn't even say something, and I'm like, I've got that. I've done it. Brownie points deluxe. If you could anticipate what was coming. Gents, next level. But in my intimate relationship with her, and I'm not just talking about sex here, right? In my intimate relationship with her, in knowing her and walking with her and understanding her, I get to this place where I really know her and where, you know, what she wants to do, or when she expresses something to me, I'm listening. You see, there's a difference between listening and listening. If you have kids, you'll understand exactly what I mean. And there's a duck in there. Alright, focus. You see, in my relationship with God, if I really love Him, then I actually want to listen to Him. When He speaks, I want to look in His eyes and I want to understand and I want to do what He's actually saying to me. The goal of my spiritual walk with Him in this life should be a close identification with Jesus Christ, that I will always hear His voice. See, I have a close identification with her. I walk with her. She's my covenant partner in this earth, and therefore I will know. And in the same way, I stand before my God as the one who knows me. So I want to hear and obey Him. I want to listen to what He has said. You see, what I need to cultivate in my life is the devotion of hearing. Devoted to actually listening. Not occasional listening, but devotion. Something that is so in my heart that I'm continually working at it to hear His voice better. That I'm continually walking in this love relationship with Him, that I can actually understand and hear His voice and know exactly what I want, so that I can live it. But what hinders me from hearing? What hinders us from really hearing the voice of God? It's our attention to things, stuff in our lives. You see, this life that we're living is about stuff. If it wasn't about stuff, then you will not have stuff. Okay? But we all have stuff. Houses and cars. And I mean, if you have a car, Depends on the age of your car, and I've had some of these cars where, man, yeah. You know, every time you get in it, you're like, Here, help. Let this thing just start. Okay, it started. Right, Here, help. I want to go there. Can I just arrive there? And these things climb into our minds and keeps our minds busy, and we start worrying about these things. And I mean, there's so many things that I can mention now that actually steals this devotion of hearing. Because the things in our lives actually draw our attention away from God. How many of you had a busy week? I see, only a few of you. So it means the rest of you have not earned your salaries. Okay, that's fine. But isn't it interesting when you walk into your office or place of work on Monday, it's like all hell breaks loose. And stuff happens, and you know, and it's busy, and you're like, it's numbers and budgets, and I don't know, what do you call it? Due dates and expiry dates, and ek weet nie wat se goeders alles nie. And these things are keeping your mind busy continuously. So that the last thing that you're actually doing is thinking about what God wants. But one of my biggest desires is that we will truly see the fruit of the Spirit being made manifest in our places of work. Why not? We gather here. This is the petrol station. I'm a glug glug, right? You get filled up here on Sunday. Free of charge. Just pay your tithe and give your offerings. No, I'm joking. But here you come, we gather again. This is what Scripture says, the gathering of the saints. God takes us up here so that we go into this week, and then what happens? We get distracted about stuff, things happening in our lives. And we don't necessarily pour out what God has poured into us in the week out there. See, I must be devoted in the right areas of my life. I need to discern what are the things that are seriously stealing this time of listening to Him. See, it's about, your walk with God is not just a time in the morning or the evening that you set aside anything between 2 minutes and an hour, or maybe two for those that are really spiritual. It's not just that, but it's a continual walking with Him. As a child of God, my response should always be, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. I want to hear. Your servant hears. Samuel had that encounter with God. We heard God calling. God actually wanted to speak to him. And then Eli said to him, but say this, speak, Lord. Your servant hears. And maybe that's a prayer that you and I should continuously be praying, is God, speak to me, please. I'm listening. But you see, it's not like being busy, like when you, Caleb is amazing. When he sits and he's busy with Lego. Yeah. I mean, I can speak to the rocks. I'll get better response. Because in Caleb's brain, well, Gemma's like that too. They love their Lego, and when they play Lego, nothing else exists. Okay? See, you have the same challenge. And all I want my son to say is, speak, Father, I'm listening. But you know, when I speak, it feels like he's going. And he's like, huh? And then I'm like, but I told you to put your glass in the machine. You did? You know, when was that? And all I want him to do is develop this nature of devotion of hearing. I just want him to be devoted to my voice. When I speak, I go, son. He goes, yes, Father. What can I do for you? There's none of that. So I think I feel God's frustration when he as the Father is lovingly wanting to speak to us, his children, and we go like, what? He's saying, what? I'm busy. No, wait, Lord, deadline, expiry date. I need to deal with stuff. But we, you and I, need to consistently work on our listening. Truly hearing His voice. Because I was thinking while we were worshiping, this is so powerful, because we're standing here, we're worshiping the King of Kings. And what I prayed is that, you know, the fact that He's ruling and reigning is a done deal. The fact that His name is above every other name is done. And that if we hear His voice, if we obey His voice, then we can enforce and bring that kingdom into this world. There's no power or principality that can stand against that name. And you and I are the agents or the people that needs to bring that into this earth. We are the agents. We are the sons and the daughters that need to take this into the world. But how can we do that if we are not hearing? How can we do that if we are not listening? If we are following our own inclinations and the intentions of our own thinking? Now, obviously, you have a responsibility to your job. I get that. But it doesn't mean that you shouldn't listen there. You know, it's that where someone in your work or wherever you are, it's like, just be open to hear God's voice, that when you need to pray for someone, a minute to start, you know, give a word of encouragement. Just be open to hear that. You see, if my attention is too much on other things, I will become deaf. Deaf. I always get confused. Doof. All right? To His voice. You will miss His voice. And that's the last thing that I believe God wants for us, is that we miss what He wants to say to us. So don't be so busy. And maybe some of you need to recalibrate your life a little bit so that you can hear His voice a lot more clearly. Now, Matthew 10 verse 27, Jesus says this: what I tell you in the dark, say it in the light. What you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. Now, sometimes in your life, and maybe some of you are there, you will go through a season of darkness, a trial or something that is in your life that is, you know, you're in the situation where it is dark, and Jesus is saying, what I'm saying to you in the dark, what I'm saying to you when it's not the mountaintop, when you're not on the hill, you know, when things aren't so rosy and you can see over the valleys and you see everything and it's so awesome, you know, when I'm speaking to you when it's dark, when you're in the covering and no one sees and it's difficult and it's tough, I want you to listen. See, because sometimes God puts us through the experience and the discipline of darkness to teach us to hear His voice. Scripture doesn't for nothing say that all things work together for the good for those who love Him. All things. And like I read, James said, man, there's going to come trials. Jesus said, you're going to face these things. But what do we do when this darkness comes? We need to listen. You see, when it's dark, pay attention. But what do we do when we go through a trial sometimes? We freak out. We lose it. We're like, what's going on? We're running to and fro, and we're like, not, you know, you can't see because it's dark. It's absolutely crazy, and we in a sense lose it. But listen. So, if you are in a season now of darkness, what are you doing? And if you're on a mountaintop now, listen. Because the darkness might come. The first thing you do is keep your mouth closed. Shut up. Keep quiet. Is that not a nice word? Play still. When you go through a season of darkness, be quiet. Remain silent. Why? So that you can hear God speak. You see, if you're going to speak in this season of darkness, you're probably going to say the wrong things because you are in the wrong mood. You are in a place that you are not so great. What else? Word can I use there? You're not in a good space. Is the mic all right? It's like it's been soft. So be careful what you say in that season. Rather keep quiet. You want to actually be listening at this time. The thing is, the other thing that we do is when we go through a season of darkness and when it becomes a bit long, we start speaking to people. We start asking, but why this, why that, and all the rest of it. Maybe you just have not been listening. I don't know. Maybe what God wants to speak to you over this prolonged season of darkness is so amazing and it's going to use it to such great glory later that you should just listen more. But we tend to start to speak to people and we start, you know, moaning more than what we're actually engaging this in faith. And that is why it's imperative for us to actually be careful what we are saying, to keep quiet and listen. Now, yes, when you listen and you hear, then please obey. Because you see, if you listen and there's no obedience, then there's nothing. You need to obey when he speaks to you there. You see, because when he speaks to you in that season, he might just give you a message for someone else later. You know, when we speak to people, sometimes, and yes, in the counsel of many, there is wisdom. I get that. And people use that sometimes as an excuse to speak to people. My question is just, who are the guys that you are speaking to? Are they faithful men and women that really hear the voice of God so that they can just not listen to your moaning and go, yeah, 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 this boy is cool. You know, you are so right. You are so right. God needs to come through for you now. But if you speak to people and there are people that can prophesy into your life or speak words of affirmation and so on, those are the guys that you need to speak to. Yes. And maybe you should ask God who you should speak to, if anybody. And then listen and then obey. So interesting in the Bible when you see the Israelites so many times where they speak to God. Well, they don't speak to God and they go to war and then they get messed up. And when they listen to God, they're actually victorious. And I think for us is that when we listen, we need to listen so that we can be victorious, that we can be free. And when he speaks to us in that dark place, and I've seen it so many times in my life where I've gone through stuff, and maybe not right after it, but somewhere God will take that situation and connect me with someone that's going through a similar thing. And I can say to them, man, hang on, because this is what God is about to do in your life. Obviously, it's not going to be the same than what he does in my life, but I've got this message of encouragement that I can share with someone to push through. Because it's the one thing about this life that really is not cool is when the trials come, when the darkness come. It's not the nicer part of life. Listen. I think after a period of darkness, you will experience delight and humiliation. Delight probably because you've heard his voice. Humiliation because you took so long to hear. And you go like, ay, 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 man, why did it take so long? Why weren't I listening? Why didn't I just go and sit still and listen sooner? I've seen it so many times when I did plumbing. I would get into a job or someone's home and I start fixing something. And, you know, 2-3 hours later, I'm like, yes, in here. I mean, come on. What is wrong here? And I'm like, Lord, help. But I don't know what's wrong here. Please show me what's wrong. And then 15 minutes later, I walk out the house and I go like, yes, Corbis. Maybe sometime next time when you walk and go, okay, I made more money though. Because I charge per hour. So maybe God was, yeah, no, I'm joking. But I just needed to ask and listen a lot sooner than what I actually did. So maybe when God is, you know, in that season of the darkness in your life, maybe you should just ask and listen sooner. And it's amazing when you realize the humiliation of maybe I should have listened sooner. It brings a softness to your heart so that next time you will be more tender to hear God's voice. John 10:27 says this, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." But what if the sheep are not listening? What if the sheep are so focused on the grass in front of them, and all they see is the green grass? It's such awesome grass because it's green, and it's longer than next door. It's nice grass. This is very nice grass. And it causes them not to hear. Or what if they are so focused on the one next to them that's got dirty wool? You know, it's like... your wool is dirty. Have you seen your wool is dirty? Maybe you should stand that side because your wool are dirty. What are they are thinking the whole time of what are they going to do with my wool? Man, I've got such beautiful wool. When I shave this, man, it's going to be a rope thingy-dingy. It's going to be awesome. And they're getting so distracted with these things that is around them that they're not hearing the shepherd speaking to them, going, "Yo, why? Gras is sleg. Kom ons move. Kijk daar jene." Sometimes when the shepherd leads the sheep, you know, from this nice grassy patch to the better one, there's not a grassy niceness between there and there. You hear what I'm saying? It's like deader grass. Okay? The grass are not so nice. And the sheep go like, "What's the shepherd thinking? Has he looked at this grass? I'm going back." Church, China. So it was long grass and it was green. But they should listen, not right? But you see, if they're not focused on the shepherd's voice, they're not going to hear it. And sometimes, as ons hardkoppig, because we look at what we have and what's before us, and we are not listening to his voice, and we are not hearing them, which means we cannot follow him. They will genuinely not hear his voice, I'm sure, because it's all about the grass and the wool. Only thing that will happen is his voice will become this annoying sound sort of in the background, you know, white noise. I hear something. Yes, I think of being a parent again. It's like, I feel like that sometimes. Speak to my sons, it's like, I'm just white noise. I'm just there to, you know, color the day in for them. And then listening is optional extra. But they need to hear the voice. In order to listen, to hear, you need to obviously listen, but you need to listen sometimes with your eyes, not just with your ears only. You see, because many times when I speak to my son and I go and I take him to any wangikis, it's funny, suddenly he hears, because now I'm looking in his eyes, like, baliki, and I say, tell op die Lego. Yes, I have to come back 5 minutes later and go, so focus on the shepherd's voice, because when you hear him, you will be able to follow. You want to know what to do with your life, where to go, what to do? Then just listen to his voice. Develop the devotion of hearing. So, I think for us to take home, firstly, repent if you have not been listening. Become aware of the fact that you are actually not listening. Get rid of the things in your life that are causing distraction. And you will know what they are. Even if it's your own sleep. If your eyelids are keeping you asleep, cut them off. No, I'm just joking. The Bible does, yeah? If your arm's bothering you, and so eyelids, it's keeping me asleep. Don't do that, please. Jeslyn, Toma, don't go there. Right. But get rid of the stuff that's causing you not to listen. Cultivate the devotion of listening. Be devoted in your life to hear his voice. Listen to what he say to you. And when you're in a dark space, listen. Because that message that you're going to receive is going to bless someone that you can minister to later. And then he knows you. Hear his voice and follow. Don't get so distracted with the stuff. Can I just say this? Saints, God has placed us here in Brackenfell. And I know he's got great plans for us. I'm looking so looking forward to our new venue. I'm trusting God for a massive thing. I'm not going small. Trusting God. We need to get people saved and reconnected with God. So we want to go there. But in order for us to fulfill God's call and destiny for us as a congregation, we're going to have to listen and obey. If we're not going to have this devotion of hearing God's voice in our lives, we're going to miss his plan for our lives. I'm so grateful because in this congregation of ours, I can really see that there's people that hear God's voice. And it's such a blessing for us to walk with you in hearing that. But you know, we as a congregation need to walk there. So if you're battling to hear, then turn to someone and go, listen, can you help me to listen to God's voice? Can you keep me accountable to listen? This is my distraction. Can you help me to deal with this so that I can go on? Amen? Because the last thing we want to do is miss what God has called us for. Listen, this world wants to keep you busy. Be careful not to miss that the shepherd is moving on and you are staying where you are currently. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that, Lord, we've had such an awesome morning in your presence, and Lord, you've dealt with so many things in our lives. And Father, as we stand before you here, or we sit, I just pray, Father, you know our hearts more than we even know it ourselves. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you will come and that you will just now minister to people where there are distractions that's keeping them from hearing your voice. That you will minister into my life, Father, the things that are causing me not to hear your voice. Even when we sit down in your presence and we've made time to listen to you, and instead of listening to you, Father, we're busy thinking about our little list of the things that we need to do and still must do and not do and all the rest of it, Father. And may we get into those moments and be devoted to hearing your voice and your voice alone. Holy Spirit, I ask that you will help us to get rid of every distraction. That we will be in a place, Father, where we will say, God, speak to us. That we will not respond like Israel to this amazing God and say, don't speak to us, but let man speak to us. But may each one of us hear your voice clearly. Father, I thank you that you've called us for great things here in Brackenfell, and we're looking forward to see your hand move on our lives, Father, and what you want to do in us and through us. And even 20 years from now, Father, the things that you want to build through us as this generation. So I pray for your people as we go from here, Father, your anointing and your blessing over them. I pray for your conviction, Holy Spirit, to convict every heart of the things that are distracting them from you so that they will hear your voice. But I thank you, Father, as we go, that your blessing is upon us, that you go before us, and we can experience your anointing in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen.